I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 20th, 2026, and I am wearing white to celebrate surrender. My surrender. Because obviously impartiality is not a commodity in this world. But I'm going to continue on with that theme anyway. The first thing we're going to open up with, and forgive me if I'm a little bit colloquial, is the stupidity of the masses, and I'm going to give you three examples as to why I say that. First up, we're going to begin with our resident communist who disguised himself as Paul in Canada. In answer to the question from Politico, of all impartial places, I say that sarcastically, of course, who is it better to depend on? It's better to depend upon China than the United States. Talking to Canadians, 57% say yes, it's better to depend on the United States than China, 23%. Nobody can do math anymore. Nobody understands the absolute volume of trade that passes between us and the United States. Nobody seems to understand proximity. Nobody seems to understand the difference between a Republican government, and I don't say Republican Party, I mean a republic of the United States, and dealing with the CCP, dealing with communist China. You know, I made a video yesterday where I was talking about the fact that we are now going to be inviting foreign killers, foreign-trained troops, to have citizenship in Canada. Permanent residency leads to citizenship and a position within the Canadian military. And you know, several people came back and said, oh, it's just doctors and nurses, just like all the engineers and doctors we brought in as refugees and we mass immigrate through the TFW program. And, you know, I don't just fault the Liberals for that. It was Harper who actually redesigned the TFW program and began the onslaught of cheap foreign labor displacing Canadians who are just trying to be low-wage wages and trying to survive. They can't get a job because we have a slave class in Canada. None of these people, these 57% who say it's better to deal with China, we'll face that reality that we have a slave class here. They're all fake. And this is proof. The masses cannot be trusted to make decisions. There's something called the dictatorship of the mob. And in many ways, Canada is not just an aristocracy. With an imported prime minister parachuted into Canada to win an election, a Bank of Canada governor, a Bank of England governor, a JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Brookfield man, a central banker. You couldn't get more elite than that. And somehow the masses in this country are embracing him as a savior of the middle class. Even as the man meticulously deconstructs the country for his own benefit and his own vision. And it's an interesting thing. Canada will also signal under Mark Carney that Muslim values are Canadian values, even as we raise the rainbow trans flag all over the place. And even as we embrace a China that enslaves 2 million Muslim Uyghurs, and nobody even wants to talk about that. I don't even think people know what the fuck a Uyghur is. These people talk about saving Canada. They talk about the big, bad, evil Trump. They embrace a Liberal Party, and indeed a Conservative Party, for that matter, who have been selling out the country for decades. The entire nation was replaced in 1982. Nobody knows what is happening. Nobody even knows what's going on. They lack the historical perspective, but they feel so inclined and so positioned that they can offer their opinions about the future direction of this country, and they don't even know where that country is. Now, I tried to make a point this morning, which, I mean, is clear from the absolute lack of engagement. It's lost on people with Trump's tariffs struck down. I would encourage everyone who's been spamming certain content in my comments section to remember what the content said about this decision. Content that peddles uncertainty about the future should always be taken with a grain of salt. And again, I don't think anybody knows what the hell I'm talking about. There are certain channels out there who promised that the Supreme Court would absolutely support Trump's use of emergency powers to back tariffs. And I've always been kind of skeptical of that position, but I'm not Nostradamus. I don't know the future. I can speculate. I often do. But I seldom ever guarantee my vision. There are other channels who guarantee their vision. Nobody knows the future. Trump is not some kind of superhuman asset for the Americans. His plans can fail just as much as anyone else's. Now, if we go through the comments, the first thing I'm going to dismiss, and there's not even something I'm going to show you, but just a cursory glance at social media and you'll see what I say is true. Canadians are celebrating this like it is a shoot down of Donald Trump and his efforts, as if anything has changed as regards us and our relationship with the United States. We're still going to have a hard time with our renegotiation of the most important trade agreement to this country, which is the USMCA, and we can change the acronyms, letters around all we want. We need it. We need the United States. There is no replacing them. China cannot replace. We can create a program through which the PLA, the People's Liberation Army of China, can send their trained troops over here. They'll pass security screenings with flying colors. Do you realize when you're bringing in foreign-trained military personnel and you dare put in the same sentence that they're going to pass security screening, a foreign-trained military member should automatically not pass security screening because they've already sworn a vow to another army. They're non-citizens. They're not even here. They're not TFWs. They're not here under the IMP. They're not here as permanent residents. We're going to take people and pluck them out of foreign armies and plunk them into the Canadian Army and hand them citizenships. Who's not going to take advantage of that? The CCP will absolutely take advantage of that because they are the ones who have been taking control of Canada for decades. And all of the sleeping masses who are anti-Trump have been more than happy to let it happen. They just shrug their shoulders and they go on about their lives. And they want to know what's happening in the Olympics. And we'll talk about that next. But this point was lost on people. Beware of Prometheus. Beware of anybody that is telling you they know the future. Nobody knows the future. Now, Raddick, an old friend, says they're not struck down. He just can't use emergency as a justification, similar to what our SC ruled on freezing bank accounts. I said, don't dismiss the litigation that is coming over collections to this point under the law, now struck down as a justification. Don't shoulder shrug at legit blows to his plans. If Trump was the great 5D chess master that everybody thinks he is and that every single thing, success and failure, is part of his plan, why did he use emergency powers to establish tariffs if he knew in advance, which a lot of people seem to think, that they would be struck down? Seems like a monumental waste of time. What's going to arise from this for the Trump administration is now there's going to be all kinds of litigation from all of the nations about the tariffs that have been collected so far. Because even if Trump uses his powers and uses different sections of the law, which he can, I don't disagree, he could reestablish his tariffs largely on a temporary basis. One aspect of the law gives him 150 days. There's limitations, but all of the money that's been collected so far has now been thrown into uncertainty. There's going to be litigation where people seek that money back. So sure, he could slap tariffs on again today, but all of the money collected so far is now being put in the liability column, or potentially put in the liability column of the administration, creating more friction when it comes to Donald Trump's approach to trade policies. And I'm not saying I disagree with tariffs. I'm not saying he's doing something wrong. I'm just saying that these are the consequences that arise. And just to finish up the point, I don't know what Canadians are celebrating here. There's no win here for us. There's some headwinds for the Trump administration. There's a little bit of movement and things that are going to happen in the United States, but it doesn't affect our position at all. We didn't win anything, and yet we're pretending we won. I want to talk about my coup, though. You don't know that the president has veto power, right? Nothing was struck down. He doesn't have veto power over the courts, man. He's got veto power over things that Congress and Senate send to him. I'm not really sure how veto power factors into this. Maybe I'm ignorant. Maybe there's some magical presidential authority that can overturn the Supreme Court. But as yet, my understanding is that doesn't exist. And another thing I want to talk about is the monumental importance of the Olympics to many people, including the leader of the opposition, Pierre Poilievre, which we'll get to next. It's a sad commentary that a large component of the Canadian population won't realize what trouble we are in as a nation until Canada doesn't do well at the Olympics. This was kind of said tongue-in-cheek, but it's also a little bit serious. There are people out there, I've actually seen social media posts talking about how bad Canada is doing in the Olympics and how it's a sign of the times. And I'm like, is this unreality? Has Canada not been in a bad way all these decades? Has the news just about Canada and its prospects not been terrible for such a long time that we needed an Olympic game? We needed a bad showing to wake people up? That this is what people are pinning their hopes on? It was like the Battle of the Nations where the United States and Canada were going at it. Everybody was deeply invested in a hockey game. Well, the Canadian financial picture and the status of Canada as a nation is falling apart all around us. We're being converted into a resource colony. We've already been there. But like Mark Carney's formalizing it with the way that he is approaching relations. And if that's the case, you want to be a resource colony of the United States. You don't want to be a resource colony of India. Have you seen how India functions? Have you seen how the Chinese government functions? Do you understand that a choice between these three outcomes is, it doesn't get any clearer? The Constitution in the United States, just because of proximity, because we live next to each other and we already do all our business with them, is the only game in town. And yet people are racing for the exits with no hope or prospect of creating a decent future. Like, your pension purchasing power will evaporate. And that's if there's anything left to you. Because as pensions are being raided in other parts of the West, Carney is here to raid the CPP. And he's here to raid the private sector pensions. We just don't know it yet. I mean, I do. I can read the tea leaves. I'm pretty sure that it's baked in. But he doesn't have his majority yet. He hasn't revealed the fullness of his hands, and we haven't had the spring election yet. So there's still things that have to happen before the fullness and fulsomeness of his plan becomes apparent to everybody else. But will it ever, will, even as it becomes apparent, because I say it's pretty apparent right now, will the masses actually wake up? Or will they still be blaming Trump when they're kicked out of their apartments? Will they still be blaming Trump when more and more people are living in their cars and in tents? When more and more of our youth cannot get work just to be a wage slave because of the slave class we've created in this country known as the TFW program, the IMP, and all the permanent residencies we're handing out like Canada? When people can't get recruited into their own military if they even want to join, because all those positions are already filled by foreign legions that don't even speak English or French. That's the future, the government that is built on the rallying cry of elbows up and saving Canada. That's the future they're creating in the Canadian masses. Well, they're concerned with the Olympics. All right, so it hasn't been a good week for the Conservative Party of Canada. They lost another member, a highly predictable outcome. Like I said, I provided a list of MPs. This one was on it months ago in my video work. You can go and watch that content. It's timeless, and it makes a bunch of forward-looking statements. I don't know the future, but some things seem to be more baked in than others. And these floor crossers, the soft underbelly of the Conservative Party, which Carney is taking advantage of, was built by Conservative Party leadership. So that was one bit of bad news. Another bit of bad news is the foreign legions that we're going to bring into the Canadian Army and the citizenships we're planning on handing out. We're going to give automatic weapons to foreign military-trained personnel. We're going to hand them citizenships. And you would think maybe the leader of the opposition might have something to say about that. But instead, yesterday, roughly around the same time, when I took this screenshot, 41 minutes ago, I'd been talking about these subjects all day. I put in a lot of time yesterday. I was making private phone calls yesterday. I was reaching out to as many people as I could. I couldn't find anybody that cared. I'll be completely honest. My contacts within the Conservative Party of Canada, there's only one I didn't reach out to because I figured it would be a big fail. The other ones, I kind of hope somebody would be excited. Nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to care. Polyev is posting about Olympics chili. And people say, well, he's supposed to spend time with his family. Do you think he would work all the time? He's the leader of the opposition. He's vying to be prime minister. He's got a production crew following him around in a grocery store. And you're talking to me about quiet family time as he's filming this. This is a deliberate choice. I say, what the F is Polyev doing? MPs desert his party to Carney. C4 still in place as men in dresses unleash carnage. That's another thing. He held hands and did a photo op with Mark Carney. But there's no substantive change. Nobody wants to actually look at this crisis of men in dresses that we're facing. Nobody wants to talk about it. They just want to be concerned with using proper pronouns. The Conservatives don't want to repudiate their support for C4 and actually talk about substantive change, which might save lives and protect children from harm. They're not doing any of that. He's making chili. And now we are giving foreign soldiers citizenships and positions in our army. We are becoming a CCP colony, and he's making chili. And when he's not making chili, he's virtue signaling about hockey. This ain't going to work, folks. He's not going to win an election this way. I don't think he wants to. I mean, how do you go from apple eating Pierre to chili cooking Pierre? It doesn't make any sense. And now, one of the things that, and this is symbolic of some of the pushback, because I've had a lot of it. GMR says, what the F is he supposed to do? I swear this guy catches so many unnecessary, undeserved bullets. And I just chose to respond with five simple words. Lead. He's supposed to lead. As I said yesterday, he has the ability to call press conferences. He can make nice, polished video content and release it online. If it actually said something real, it would go viral and it would reach hundreds of thousands, if not millions of eyes. He has the ability to fight, to oppose. He doesn't even have to go anywhere. He can just get on his phone and call up media contacts and say that he's having a teleconference if he wants to stay home and watch hockey. There's a lot he could do. Lead is the word that symbolizes all of it. We don't have an opposition in this country right now at a time when we need it. And honestly, whether I haven't exactly had or been in love with the Conservative Party of Canada for a long time, that should be obvious. But Pierre Poilievre was the golden boy. I mean, if we're honest, if many people in the alternative space are honest, that is, we would, hang on, here it is. Pierre Poilievre is the only leader that the so-called savior, because people are still in the PPC cult, the only leader that Maxime Bernier ever endorsed, the only effective and actually conservative, CPC critic Pierre Poilievre, is being demoted, most likely because he doesn't fit in Erin O'Toole's and the party's establishment plan to campaign center-left clones of the Liberals. Maxime Bernier was trying to poach Pierre Poilievre, and his people thought it would be a great idea for Pierre to cross the floor. Well, the golden boy is now leader of the CPC and is definitely generating nothing but center-left clones, because those clones are being taken by the Liberal Party of Canada. At any rate, there are a couple other things I want to discuss today. We'll get to Daniel Smith next. But first, I think the war with Iran starts this weekend once the markets are all snuggled up in bed until Monday. The Gerald Ford is already in the Mediterranean, will be operationally ready late Friday or Saturday, at least partially, by Sunday probably fully. Massive U.S. assets already in place. We're talking about hundreds of transport aircraft. We're talking about massive air assets. The United States does not build up this level of force without the intention of using it. Maybe it doesn't happen this weekend. I'd be happy if it didn't. But I think one of the statements that Donald Trump made was in the next 10 days, Iran will find out. So this weekend, next weekend, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, people think he's going to wait for the Olympics to be wrapped up, for the State of the Union to be done. I don't know if he can afford to, because Massey and others in Congress are trying to push through an act which will try to hamstring him from launching a bombing campaign. Could be all optics. It seems clear to me that American presidents can pretty much do whatever the hell they want. They've been doing whatever they want for a long time, and Trump is now the inheritor of that ability and that power. And whether you hate the Iranian regime or not, we're talking about what is and what might happen. There's been a very carefully, and this is the point I wanted to get to, choreographed kinetic relationship that's been ongoing for, I would say, years between Iran, the United States, and Israel. And like even during the 12-day war, there was a lot of signaling in advance of what was coming. The Iranians knew what targets the Americans were going to bomb. And the Americans knew ahead of time what targets Iran was going to hit in retaliation. And the same thing happened when the Americans took out Soleimani. The Iranians signaled, we're going to hit these places, basically giving the Americans time to move assets out. The other thing is, it's not just the buildup of military assets. It's also the removal of American personnel. So the pullout of troops in Syria has happened. This is why I think war is now inevitable. I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's a matter of when and timing. And it tends to be that wars start on weekends so that the markets don't get too spooked and they have time to digest it before trading resumes. And the only thing that gets damaged is crypto, if it gets damaged at all, because let's face it, crypto is pure degeneracy these days, and it doesn't even respond the way it used to global events. And I think, with all the stuff that's happening with Epstein, with all the stuff that's still going on with Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk, which is kind of a subset of the entire Epstein debacle, we're learning just how, and I mean, we're not actually learning it. This has been public knowledge for decades, what the elites are up to in their private circles, but it's right there. There's a database full of emails that you can go and read, and it's telling you everything in shocking detail. And once again, I don't know. Does the public actually care enough about these things? Like, does the public actually care about trafficking in minors? Does the public actually care about what beef jerky and pizza actually means and hot dogs? Do they care what their elites are getting up to behind the scenes? Like, as long as they're left alone with their hockey, do they actually give a shit about morals and decency and what is right anymore? Because I sometimes wonder. There's a lot of attention being paid to this, but there is a distinct lack of sufficient outrage, if you ask me, and I can think of one thing to distract everybody away from that, and that is a major war. Instead of the orchestrated kinetic back and forth that we've had, an actual outright campaign where everybody's firing on all cylinders. That will create very unpredictable consequences. And as Mike McCartney says, just one misjudged military move and we're all kaput. The unpredictability of escalation is a very real factor that everybody should be thinking about for their own personal survival. Like I said, become an island of resiliency wherever you are. Do the best you can, even if it means just laying in a few cans of food. Because you never know. This is one of the fastest moving periods of time. Well, it is the fastest moving period of time that anyone watching this has been alive to see. I don't care how old you are. These are historic times and things can change faster than you can imagine. And the last thing I want to touch on is Smith's referendum, because it is Smith's referendum. Independence is nowhere in this referendum talking about provincial autonomy, but it's all baked within Canada. You're not actually being offered the choice to leave. You're just talking about taking more powers and, I don't know, building energy towards maybe independence someday. It's a slow roll. I don't trust any politician in this country right now. Nobody seems to have the vision necessary to deal with the times. I feel like they're all leading us into perdition. Many of them are open and honest about it, from Doug Ford to Stephen Harper to Mark Carney. They're telling you you're going to suffer and people are just lapping it up. It's like they can't hear it. We've got a wide open door to communist infiltration of our military. And again, very few people seem to care about it relative to the majority of the population. I'm not sure what it takes. But either way, back to the referendum. There's a lot of good questions in there, but all of them are within the context of Canada. So Alberta independence has a long way to go. And some of those questions are valid and good. And I think probably the way that it's worded will have a greater chance of success than an outright independence vote. But the fact of the matter is, there's a whole pile of people in Alberta that just want an outright independence vote now. And they're still going to work towards that objective. And I think their concerns are valid. Because Canada is not listening. Canada is not awake. We are infiltrated with existential threats in our own government. We're surrounded by existential threats on the outside. Even the United States is an existential threat. But it's the best existential threat of the lot. Mark Carney might be the worst, especially with his allegiance to China and this whole open invitation to foreign troops and our armies and citizenships being handed out. It's just, I don't sense the urgency. And that's what's absent, is the urgency of the times. Things are happening so fast, and I feel like Canadians in general, and maybe even Canadian politicians that have a glimmer of what's coming, they're not acting with the urgency that the times require. And to me, that's a problem. Causes me to lose sleep at night. Either way, I'm sorry if this video was disjointed. It's more of a... it's almost just like grounding. It's just trying to pour it out so that maybe I can calm down a little bit, because I'm really frustrated by the level of apathy and ignorance that I just keep butting up against. And I put in a lot of time. I put in a lot of hours to trying to understand things, and I'm just not sure I don't know if it matters. I'm not sure impartiality is a commodity. I don't know if that's what people want. I think that's why a lot of influence
influencers spend a lot of time trying to figure out what their audience wants and just giving them that. I don't want to do that. But at any rate, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.